Let us now read together from the Gospel according to John, chapter 19. We read the verse, 16 verses, last week when we read about how the Lord Jesus was humiliated and tortured before he was led to the cross. And now let us read from verse 17 about the account while he was on the cross. So John 19, verse 17. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, This man said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. And then comes the text for this morning's service. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the text for this service is these verses, 23 through 25. After the sermon, we will sing from Psalm 22, and then we will sing the verses 8, 9, and 10. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, as we read the account of the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is easy enough to be overcome with emotion. Confronted with the horror that he had to undergo, we pity him as he was mistreated and abused and humiliated by his tormentors. We are moved to tears as we read the account about him being flogged. As we saw last week, such a flogging was a brutal beating. They would lacerate the back of the victim to such an extent that the back would become a horrible bloody mess. Often victims were beaten to within an inch of their life. After this, they humiliated the Lord Jesus even further by putting a crown of thorns on his head and by clothing him in a purple robe and mocking him as King of the Jews. They spat on him, and they mocked him, and they ridiculed him, and they did everything to strip him totally of his dignity. And then finally, they crucified him. That in itself was one of the most humiliating things you could do to a human being. And then to further humiliate him, they hung a note above his head which read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But in our text, we read the account about the Lord Jesus having his clothes removed and about the division of his clothes. In the scheme of things, that doesn't seem like such a big deal, does it? Compared to the other things he had to suffer, this seems only a minor detail. But is it? The fact of the matter is that all four Gospels mention this detail. The Apostle John is most elaborate. He even mentions that this had to happen in order to fulfill Scripture. And so it is clear that the four gospel writers wanted to make sure that the readers are informed about this apparently minor detail. The Holy Spirit wants us to have this. Now, why do you think this is so important? What exactly is the significance of the Lord Jesus being stripped of his clothes? How does that knowledge benefit us? That's what I want to preach to you about this morning. The theme is as follows: Christ bears our shame by hanging naked on the cross. And then we will first look at Jesus' nakedness, and then secondly, the soldier's indifference. When you see the Lord Jesus depicted in paintings or in scriptures, he is normally not portrayed as being naked. They usually have his private parts covered with a loincloth, and no doubt they did this because they did not want him to be displayed in such a humiliating way. It would be too shameful. However, no doubt the Lord Jesus was stripped of all his clothes, and therefore he was totally naked while he hung on the cross. For there's nothing in the text to suggest otherwise, that he still had some clothes on him. And furthermore, that was also the custom of that day. In the Roman Empire, crucifixion was the usual means of execution. It was regularly done. And we have ancient accounts of how it was done. And in all cases, the victims were left hanging naked on the cross. It is the final humiliation before death. Before the fall into sin, it was natural to be naked. Nakedness symbolized that there were no barriers between you and God and the rest of the world, that there is nothing to hide. There is nothing to cover up. You can go about in total freedom without fear. You have nothing to be ashamed of. As it says in Genesis 2, verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. They felt no shame. But when Adam and Eve fell into sin, suddenly they became aware of their nakedness. It made them feel ashamed and vulnerable. The harmony between God and them and between man and wife was broken. They experienced their inward corruption and realized that their relationship had drastically changed. The perfect connection between them is gone. There is a brokenness. And therefore, after the fall into sin, Adam and Eve hid. They were ashamed. The Lord God had to rescue them from their sinful and their shameful state. For that reason, one of the things the Lord God did was to give them some clothes to wear. From then on in, it was no longer natural for a man or a woman to go about without clothes. The kind of clothes that you wear can tell a lot about a person. The soldiers mockingly put a purple robe on the Lord Jesus, probably some old discarded rug. Purple is the color of royalty, for it was made from a highly prized dye obtained from the secretions of mollusks native to the East Mediterranean. Approximately 8,000 mollusks were required to produce 1 gram of purple dye. And so purple cloth was extremely expensive. And for that reason, only the very rich people, such as kings, could afford such a robe. And people are identified by the kind of clothes they wear. Although less so the case now, it nevertheless is also true today. In the 1880s, Mark Twain coined the famous phrase, clothes make the man. Later he wrote, naked people have little or no influence on society. In those days, there was much more of a contrast between rich and poor than today, and that was obvious from the way that people dressed. Today it is more difficult to recognize a person's social status by his or her clothes. Clothes are cheap, and just about anybody can pick up a cheap outfit from a discount store. Nevertheless, in order to fit in today, young people are intent to wear clothes that make them stand out and that make them fit in. They want to have clothes with designer labels on them, else they are not cool. They would rather not have clothes and shoes and other apparel from discount stores such as Walmart. Clothes make the man. Clothes tell a lot about you. They place you into a certain social class. When you are well-dressed in a suit and tie or a nice dress, then you are more likely to get good service and to have access to more places than when you are dressed in casual clothes. Clothes are important. The kind of clothes we wear is also important to the Lord God. When they appeared before the Lord in the temple, the Israelites had to show respect for the Lord God by making sure that their clothes were clean and not torn or ragged. Our clothes show something about what lives inside of us. It shows respect for others, and it shows respect for yourself. Clothes give dignity. When we are stripped of our clothes, then that is a great humiliation. It symbolizes lack of possessions, poverty, helplessness. When Job hears about the loss of all his property, including his children, he cried out, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart." And he acknowledges that God can make rich or poor. For he complains in Job 22, verse 6, "You stripped men of their clothing, leaving them naked." Now, see how that was fulfilled with the Lord Jesus on the cross. The fact that he is stripped naked is a fulfillment of the prophecy that he will be made utterly poor, and that he has to give up everything that he has in order to make us rich. And so he will be stripped of all his dignity. Think about that hymn we just sang. He had no form or beauty to command our adoration. He was despised and by mankind rejected. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians that when the Lord Jesus came to earth, he stripped himself of all the glory that he had with the Father. He totally emptied himself. It says in chapter 2, verse 7, that he made himself nothing. Emptied himself. His nakedness shows the depth of the humiliation that he had to undergo. To be rendered naked is also a form of punishment. The prophet Isaiah was told by the Lord God to go about naked in order to symbolize what would happen to the Egyptians and the Ethiopians, for those nations did not want to serve God and they needed to be punished. They needed to be stripped of everything they had. Nakedness will also be punishment for the prostitute mentioned in the book of Revelation. There we are told in chapter 17, verse 16, that she will be brought to ruin and she will be left naked. And so for the Lord Jesus to be rendered naked on the cross was part of the punishment for sin that he bore for us. We deserve the punishment that he received. We deserve to be brought to nothing and to go about naked. You and I, we deserve to be poor. We deserve not only not to have clothes, but also not to have food or shelter or anything else because of our sin. Because of our sins, we have squandered our rights as children of God. We deserve to be stripped of all dignity. And so, isn't it wonderful that the Lord God is so generous with us? It's a wonderful thing that he does not want us to suffer such a humiliation. Already in paradise, he clothed Adam and Eve. And he not only dressed them, but he also made food and drink available to them. Indeed, everything that you need for body and soul, he removed the curse because of the promise of the Messiah and for all those who believe in him. And then he came. He came to fulfill it all. But please realize, brothers and sisters, what it cost him for us to have all these things. The Lord Jesus, who is the Almighty King of heaven and earth, had to be stripped of all his possessions and all his dignity in order for us to have what we have. They hung a sign above his head that stated, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But this was done to mock him, to humiliate him, to make him a laughingstock. For what did the people see when they saw him hanging on that cross? They saw a pitiful, naked man. His skin caked with blood and dirt and sweat. He fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53, where it states that he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like the one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. In order for us to have dignity and worth and the necessities of life, it had to come down to that low point in the life of Christ. It was the only way that we could receive not only these earthly blessings, but also the many spiritual blessings. That's most important. The fact that he is rendered defenseless and reduced to abject poverty shows how much he loves his creation. How much he loves you. How loves he? How much he loves me. Do you know what is so terrible? Most of the world ignores the Lord Jesus and what he suffered. Oh, sure, the West still celebrates Easter and Good Friday. In many countries like Canada, it is even a holiday. Many people are given a day off, as most of you will have in a few days. But few have an inkling of the deep significance of that day. And that was certainly the case with those soldiers who divided up the clothes of the Lord Jesus amongst themselves. Just try to picture the scene. There they sit below the cross of Jesus. They are witnesses to the most significant event in the history of the world. And yet they didn't have a clue. It went right by them. And they were unmoved by the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Do you know why? Well, they were used to it. And they were familiar with the suffering of others. These men witnessed crucifixions all the time. It was the means in the Roman Empire to execute criminals. Crucifixion had become the favorite method of execution throughout the Roman Empire, and especially in Judea, where it was regularly used to make a public example of rioters and insurrectionists. According to the historian Josephus, after Herod the Great died, the Roman governor of Syria crucified 2,000 men in order to quell an uprising. By the time of Christ, Rome had already crucified more than 30,000 people just in and around Judea. There's a tradition that tells us that when Jesus was a teenager, there was a rebellion near where he lived, and the Roman army crushed the rebellion, But they didn't want it to happen again, so they crucified an Israelite every 10 meters along the road for a distance of 16 kilometers. And so you can see that those soldiers who are sitting there below the cross of Jesus had become indifferent to the suffering around them. They had become accustomed to it. To them, it was just another day at the office. These soldiers had performed so many crucifixions that it had become methodical to them. It was their job. It's what they did for a living. They had become numb. Though they heard the screams and the cries for mercy, they learned to ignore them and to move on so that he could get it done and go home and have dinner. The cross to them had lost its significance. Essentially, today is not any different. Do you know what the most common religious symbol is in our part of the world? It's the cross. You see the cross in churches, you see the cross in jewelry, you see people crossing themselves. During the last Olympics, you even saw athletes making the sign of the cross before their event. Do the people understand, really understand the significance of the cross? Do you and I, let's stay close to home, do you and I understand it? Think about it. Why do you do the things that you do? Well, primarily our interest is in ourselves. By nature, we are selfish creatures. We want to get as much as we can out of life as possible. And that was certainly the case with those soldiers. All they wanted was to share in the spoils. Even though they see these things do not have much value, as was the case with the possessions of Jesus. All that the Lord Jesus possessed were 4 pieces of apparel. The soldiers divided these items amongst themselves. And since these pieces of apparel were of unequal value, they cast lots for them. It was likely that those 4 pieces consisted of the headgear, the sandals, the belt, and the outer garment. But there was also a 5th garment, namely a seamless undergarment. That's all that the people wore under their outer clothing. They did not have underwear like we do today. And that undergarment that the Lord Jesus wore was either made from wool or linen. And the text says that it was seamless, and it was woven in one piece from top to bottom. Some commentators suggest that this was a rather expensive piece of clothing. It's likely that Jesus received this as a gift. Because of its worth, the soldiers did not want to tear the garment into 4 pieces. And so they gambled for it, as was their custom. Like today, a lot of gambling went on. Everybody wants to get as rich as they quickly can, as rich as quickly and without as much effort as they can. The soldiers were totally focused on themselves. And that is why they did not grasp the significance of what was going around them. And that's always a danger, brothers and sisters. It's a danger for all of us, for me too. For we have been brought up with the knowledge about the cross of Christ. We have been brought up knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and that through him we may have eternal life. We have heard it since we were little children growing up. But familiarity can be a dangerous thing. Familiarity can make us take the wonderful gifts surrounding our salvation as normal and expected. It can make us take things for granted, as if it's not a big deal. Well, it's a big deal. It's a great big deal. Our salvation is the biggest deal in the history of the world. And as for those soldiers below the cross, it is no wonder that they were not paying attention. They have not been taught what the cross of Christ is all about. And so they focused on the here and now. They nonchalantly divide up the material possessions of the Lord Jesus. But you and I, we know different, don't we? We know that these things happened in order to fulfill Scripture. The Lord has a purpose for everything. Whatever evil happens here on earth, He uses it for our good. That's also what He does with the actions of these soldiers. That's also what the Apostle John tells us. He says that the division of the garments happened so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He speaks there about the fulfillment of Psalm 22 as they applied to King David. We sang about that a little while ago. They have pierced my hands and feet, no cruelty sparing, and they divide my garments I was wearing by casting lots. What happened to David finds its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout that whole psalm, David relates the agony and pain and suffering that he suffered at the hands of his enemies. David, too, was humiliated and ridiculed. He, too, was despised and scorned by everyone. It was so bad that he cried out to God, and he wondered why he was forsaken by Him. We do not know exactly what event David is referring to there, but during his life, he had been in some very difficult situations. And of course, it was nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus had to undergo. For you see, the Lord God never abandoned David. Not once throughout his whole life. Not even for a split second. For the moment that God no longer watches over His creation, the moment He no longer watches over you and me, and then this world and we in it will cease to exist, we would all cease to exist. And throughout his ordeals, David also comes to that realization, to the realization that the Lord God watches over him all the time, as He does for you and me as well, and that He does not forsake His people ever. And that is clear from what he writes at the end of that psalm. He realizes that God is with him always, even though it may not have felt like it to him at times. As he cries out, and as we will sing about in a moment, God did not keep His face concealed before Him. That is the wonderful realization he came to, and that he came to time and again. He realized that sometime God strips us naked, so to speak, in order to bring us closer to Him, to make us realize how dependent we are on Him for our well-being, indeed for our whole lives. Brothers and sisters, the Lord God looks after us. He provides for us. Did anybody go hungry in this past week without clothing, without shelter? No. He gives us what we need. He gives us everything we need for earthly comfort and sustenance. But do you know what's so wonderful? He doesn't just give us physical clothes, but He gives us spiritual clothes. He is the only one who can give you dignity and worth. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in the second letter to the Corinthians. He writes in chapter 5, verse 2, that we long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. He says, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. The Lord God promises to give us back the same dignity and worth that we had before the fall into sin. He promises total freedom. He promises that there will be no more barriers. We will put on heavenly clothing. In other words, all barriers will be removed. And when we die, we will not be found naked. And that is possible only because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung naked on the cross, who bore our shame, who suffered in our stead. Because of him, we will be able to put on the clothes given to him when he rose into heaven. The Apostle John had a vision of the glorious Christ. And he describes that in Revelation 1, verse 13 and following. He writes there, "And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters." Here we have a picture of the glorious Christ, fully clothed. Well, brothers and sisters, if you believe in him, you also will be clothed with such heavenly apparel. For listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 27. "All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." That, beloved, is the significance of what the Lord and Savior did for you on the cross. He allowed himself to be stripped naked so that we could be clothed in beautiful clothes, clothes that will never wear out. And so, as we will celebrate in a few days, Good Friday is a good Friday indeed. Amen.